even gossip is sweet on the tongue, but it's bitter in the stomach, right? So it's that is our experience in life, that these things can taste and feel so good.
Right.
Until they become part of us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then they transform us into something we never wanted to be.
Yep.
Yeah. We're becoming less human the more that we listen to and embody the lies of the devil instead of the truth of Christ.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better. Well, good morning. I always want to say good morning. I have no idea when you're listening to this. It could be any time of the day, but welcome to A Little Better. So glad to have you here for the smack dab middle of God of this Age. We're doing a three-week series. This is week two, and we are talking all things Satan, all things the devil. Drew, one, why would we want to bring that nasty vibe, you know, into our church? And two, why don't you give us your sermon in 60?
Yeah, I think why? Because we can't live in ignorant bliss, right? Like, the devil is real and his tactics are good. And so in order to get into next week where we refute him, we have to understand how he's coming after us and who he is and his reign in this world. Mm-hmm. The sermon this week, we just talked all about the war that goes on in the world that we don't see. And it's the war for our lives and our attention and our worship. And so we really looked at the devil's strategy, his like progressive strategy in our life to deceive us, to accuse us, to get us to identify with those accusations, and ultimately to destroy us. And yet, in the midst of all that like terrifyingness, Jesus offers a better way.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Incredible message. And let me get some business out of the way here. A few things. I want to do some announcements, lest I forget. And one is welcome, Matt Soans. If you're not watching but listening, Matt's on the couch here too. Matt, our ministry's lead.
Hi, Brad.
And there's a method to my madness. I'm sitting here because I get to ask the questions. Matt's over there because Drew and I would love to hear him answer the tough ones.
Yes.
But as by way of announcements, as I mentioned, we have made available the opportunity for you to ask your questions. There are so many questions. Honestly, maybe we don't talk about this enough. I mean, you know, if I just think about, you know, my experience in the church, you know, to focus on Satan and his schemes is so needful, but it doesn't happen that often, which means you've got lots of questions. Yeah. So we have a place, you can go to iwant.info, there's a place to click and submit questions. It's already been happening. We got a bunch. We'll try to tackle a few of them today. But by the time you hear this podcast, you probably only have, if you hear it right away, about 24 to 48 hours to get those questions in that we can tackle in week three. And we'll try to group them together. A lot of them are on similar themes, but get your questions in and we will try to answer them both this week and next week. Okay, business is done. Wow. Let's get to it. First time I've ever seen a sermon kicked off with a scene from The Matrix. Why did you want to bring The Matrix on Sunday morning?
I mean, I loved this clip and just like how a worldly movie kind of opens our eyes to the reality of the spiritual world. You know, I love some of the statements he made, like it's all around us, from like you doing your taxes to the moment you turn on your TV. And I think it's an accurate depiction of, you know, things that we often don't even realize are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helped kind of set the platform for what we were going to talk about.
Yep. And so again, I always love giving people kind of a behind the scenes because in pre-preach, you know, for the record, Drew, you had so much, I mean, in there. And it's always a question of like, what do we need to peel back, pull back so that it fits? Someone suggested, actually a few people suggested cutting The Matrix. You did not. You suggested cutting it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. So you've got the two angel, you got the angel and demon sitting on your shoulder right here. Matt was for taking it down. Dude, I stood up for you. I love The Matrix. I'm old enough. I saw it in the, I'll admit to seeing it in the theater. Now we're getting into all kinds of stuff. We're not recommending the movie necessarily. I don't know. But that scene is so good. I have seen the movie a few times. I'm going to go in kind of a ping pong fashion here because I do want to get to the devil's schemes. There's three of them that you focused on. But just that point out of the matrix, that it's the spiritual realities just soak everything, every dimension, you know, of our lives. And we're kind of talking about, it's easy to think about there's spiritual realities and there's physical realities, but really Satan influences everything. You know, these spiritual realities influence everything. I mean, God's forces influence everything as well, you know, but
we're embodied people, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that as if we have a spirit and a body that are somehow like intended to be separate or separable. And mm-hmm. like, yes, at death, which is like Satan's thing, right? Mm-hmm. Is separating the spirit and the body. But mm-hmm. ultimately, we're reunited. We're whole again in mm-hmm. eternity with God. I think when the more that we try to separate the spiritual and the physical, we're thinking like Greeks, not like like Christians. Mm-hmm. I think we get it wrong when we have this idea in our head that like somehow there's a spiritual reality that's completely separate from our physical mm-hmm. bodily reality. Yeah. So.
I think what's also important is like when Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, we talked a little bit about this in pre-preach, where he says we're not fighting against flesh and blood. I think mm-hmm. the priority Paul is trying to get at is not seeing, when you see someone in flesh and blood as your enemy, what you lose is if you're so busy fighting against them, you lose the mission to get them to Jesus, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? And so yeah. if someone is my enemy, I no longer want good for them. I want pain and hardship for them. And I think yeah. Paul is trying to remind people that even the people who are hurt us, even the people who we don't want to distance ourselves from, if I view them as my enemy, mm-hmm. I am no longer trying to take the gospel to them, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And I think we have to be careful that we see the devil for who he truly is, our enemy, and he has influence over people. And the way we combat that is not by labeling them as enemies, but seeing them as image bearers of God who are in desperate need of the gospel.
Yeah. And I think too, in Paul's context, you know, Jesus had come and the Israelites were expecting their Messiah to conquer Rome
yeah.
and mm-hmm. free them from right. the oppression of yep. the Roman Empire.
Yep.
And he didn't do that, mm-hmm. at least not in the way they expected. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a sense where Paul is saying, hey, we're not breaking out swords and building an army and going to conquer Rome. That's not the kind of liberation that Jesus is offering.
Right.
He's offering freedom from the spiritual forces of yes. evil, which are against
him. I think that's a great point, mm-hmm. Matt. Like this, we often are viewing the wrong oppressor, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. For the Jewish people, Rome was the oppressor, mm-hmm. but they were just a symptom of a greater oppressor.
That's right.
And Jesus didn't come to free us from the physical oppressor, but the spiritual oppressor.
Well, I think he came to free us from both.
Right.
But you can't be free from your physical oppression until you're ultimately free from the all oppression, yep. all mm-hmm. of the devil and his schemes, the evil that's in the world.
So. Right. Because even the Jewish people have seen that over like you take away the physical oppressor, a new one just steps in.
Right.
But if you break free from the spiritual one, the chains are broken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's always that temptation towards black and white thinking and to separate it. Right. It's just like, okay, where are the holy places? Let me live there. Let me stay away from the evil place. So I'll just be a church 24/7 or whatever. Or where are the holy things, you know, that I can do? I'll just like be a professional Christian, whatever. I'll stay away from it. But it's just you, no matter where you are, I mean, there is, you know, he is the God of this world, right? He has influence. We're not going to escape his influence, but neither are we going to escape Christ's influence, yeah. you know, God's influence as well. So it's easy to think about black and white with people too, right? To label enemies. Mm-hmm. And I think I've said before, you know, Solzhenitsyn, I think, said the line between good and evil runs through the heart of every person, right? It's easy for us to say, mm-hmm. here's the good people, here's the bad people. But in reality, we're all a battleground, right? We're all, mm-hmm. you know, in that. So that's what makes it so hard, right? Is because we do live, like the Matrix says, where it just soaks and it's part of everything.
Mm. We've got Solzhenitsyn and the Matrix at the same time, Brad. That was amazing.
Only Brad could do that.
All right. Well, let's get on topic. So let's talk about these three schemes. And honestly, Drew, I got to say, bro, you kind of preached them with a lot of authenticity and familiarity. You know these schemes, the scheme to deceive, the schemes to accuse, the schemes to destroy. What was going through your own head? Where do you see yourself fighting those battles? What was going on as you were preparing, this message? Because I really did feel that I was identifying with, it was so relatable, to hear those schemes.
I think the first thing, normally when you preach a message, you got to study and read commentaries and, not that I didn't do that, but unfortunately I'm too well familiar with the enemy schemes.
Yeah.
And I have fallen too much for them. Right. So it wasn't hard to be like, what's he trying to do? I know, right? Because I've been there, I've fallen for it. And I think an important thing that, I hit a little bit is like, just because you've chosen Jesus's better way doesn't mean the devil's going to give up on you, right? Doesn't mean like you are somehow invincible to his schemes, right? As Christians, we have to keep choosing the path of Christ. What was going through me is I had a little bit of that even in the midst of prepping a message about the devil's schemes, he is trying to bring up guilt and shame, right? Like reminding me of my past. Like I thought of like my journey through pornography and how I have lived in that, that by the lie, like this isn't going to hurt me and it's not that big of a deal. I'm not married yet, to like the accusations of like, you'll never win. This is who you are. You'll never overcome this. And like even just bringing those thoughts back up I think this is where you see God redeeming it. And now I can identify with it. And now I can help people see it for what it really is. And so through this journey of prepping this message, I felt guilt and shame, but then I also felt hope and glory. And I see the redemption of God through my weaknesses and through my hardships to be able to help others. And I think it's a beautiful full circle of how God, even in the midst of all the lies and the destruction the devil brings, God can still redeem it.
I, like I said, there was just way too much to relate to for me, as well. And just kind of the death spiral of thinking, the accusations, and just, I guess I think of Satan as the world's best prosecuting attorney. I mean, he's well-researched. He's better researched than I am. He remembers better than I do. I mean, and he is just able to bring fact after fact. It's true. I don't deserve grace, love, salvation, but God has chosen to make me his child. He has chosen to love me, but it is so easy on my own. And eventually we think we're the source of the, these are our ideas. We believe them, we identify with them, we own them so much.
And I love that contrast between, am I going to believe what Satan says about me, or am I going to believe what Jesus says about me? And there's, so much power in that. Even going back to the last series on relationships, are we going to choose the path of destruction? Or are we going to choose the path of life? Or I don't even know what the opposite was, but and it's that verse in John that you quoted several times, just is so strong, where Jesus is offering, hey, here's life. The devil's going to come and destroy, but I am coming to bring life. And it doesn't look like that necessarily. When we're experiencing the temptations of the devil, when we're hearing his lies, they sound so true and so good. And I loved to just opening those avocados. because Proverbs talks about even gossip is sweet on the tongue, but it's bitter in the stomach, right? So it's that is our experience in life, that these things can taste and feel so good,
right?
Until they become part of us.
Yep.
And then they transform us into something we never wanted to be.
Yep.
We're becoming less human the more that we listen to and embody the lies of the devil instead of the truth of Christ.
I think that's what's hard about the schemes of the devil, is it's not like the devil doesn't offer something that at least feels good, mm-hmm. right? Like most of the things he's teasing out there initially are fun, exciting, give you hope, mm-hmm. feel great, pleasurable. Mm-hmm. Like the thing we have to see as Christians is the long game,
yep.
right? It's the, you got to see past the outer shell mm-hmm. and you have to see what's on the inside. That's why I love the avocados, mm-hmm. right? It's not until you crack it open and you twist it, you really see the result, whether this is yep. worthy of eating, living, and having in your life or not. And
the thing about the avocado that it, where it kind of breaks down a little bit is that we do have the word of God to tell us like, that's a bad avocado, mm. right? we just don't believe it.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah. And we choose to believe the lie instead because it's more attractive.
Or more pleasurable.
Yeah,
or,
right.
Like and we want instant pleasure rather than lasting pleasure, right?
Right.
The devil offers like quick fun. Jesus offers at some level the opposite, like hardship and a little bit of pain and suffering for lasting long
joy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, I want to make sure that we start tackling some of the questions, you know, that have been floating in. So we've got three of them here. Let's see if we can address them. Number one is, and this calls back to week one, where you mentioned that Satan does do evil, but he is on a leash, right? So the question is, if Satan is on God's leash, why doesn't God shorten the leash? And you hear that a lot, don't you?
This is the question I ask. Studying this, like it just like from a human standpoint, this seems like a simple problem to solve, mm-hmm. right? Oh, God, you're all powerful.
Right.
The devil sucks. Just wipe him out. Just shorten the leash. Don't give him a leash. You know, I probably interacted with 3 to 4 people in the Rochester lobby who asked this very question. And mm-hmm. I think it is the most common question when it comes to the devil. Mm-hmm. And here's what I want us to understand when it comes to walking with Jesus. Sometimes God doesn't just give us a black and white answer. And sometimes he doesn't even fully answer it right now. And I think we have to be okay with that. And I think that this is one of those questions that we don't have the full answer, right? The Bible mm-hmm. teaches us that God's ways are different, higher than ours. And what that means mm-hmm. is I'm finite, God is infinite, right? I lack understanding, God doesn't. But what I love to tell people when they ask this question, why would God give the devil a longer leash? I don't know. Really, from just to empathize and understand with everybody, like if I was in charge, I would shorten the leash. I would. That makes more sense to me. But what I do know about God is he takes the things of the devil, the things that are rotten, ugly, messed up, painful, hard, mm-hmm. and he redeems them. Mm, yes. Right? The Bible mm-hmm. says that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Even the things that we choose that we shouldn't choose, God has the ability to redeem. So at some level, the leash, God knows even in the leash he gives the devil, the things that he does conjure up and do that are hard, God has the ability to restore them, bring them back, and redeem them.
Mm-hmm. And to some, in some, there's some reality, some way that God has already disarmed Satan, right? The cross yeah. disarmed all the power and authority that Satan had. Mm-hmm. Like death has been defeated, and that is his weapon,
yep.
right? Mm-hmm. And so we can say, God, why don't you do this? And he would say, well, I did. Mm-hmm. But there's a sense of like not yet that we wrestle with.
Yep.
And that's where we trust God and place ourselves in his care. Why doesn't he shorten the leash? Well, he cut it off. He's already condemned
yep.
Forever and bound forever.
Yep. And at some level there's also another conversation that jumps in here is the conversation of free will. Yep. Right? Of, you know, I don't understand how this works either, but like we get to choose.
Yep.
You know, and if God shortened the leash, ultimately what that means is God says, no, you're going to become a robot who just does what I want you to. And there's this balance of we have the freedom to choose which path we take. And if God took that choice away and said, no, I'm going to get rid of the devil, wipe him out, and everybody's going to go this way, we would be like, well, why doesn't God allow us to choose? Like, and so there's this like battle going on here where we have free will, and that will allows us to choose the wrong things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, if we lived in a world of instant judgment, like every wrong action was immediately judged, you know, by God, we wouldn't choose any of those. We wouldn't exist past them. But God has somehow extended, you know, delayed the resolution, you know, of all this. I think of the parable of the wheat and the tares, you know. It's just like, you know, the enemy comes and sows weeds among the wheat. And, you know, they say, hey, master, why don't we pull up those weeds? Well, you're going to pull up, you know, the wheat as well. And we live in this world where Satan has a leash. He's doing these things. But like you say, Drew, God will ultimately redeem them. And that strongest evidence for the leash you called out in week one was the story of Job,
yep.
Where Job or Satan gets permission for everything he does. But the end of that story, like you said, is Job doesn't get answers. We know more than Job does. You know, Job gets no answers, but he does get the confidence that God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good one, tough one. All right. Maybe we can do these next two. I'm gonna read them both because I think there's some overlap, and then let's just wrap it, answer these questions. So one is, how do we chase the devil away from our thoughts? Is it enough to say, I'm a child of God and you have no power over me? You are a liar. Get behind me, Satan. So chasing the devil away from our thoughts. And then here's another thought question, which is, for many years, I lost the fight with demons because I tried to fight on my own. Now that I've returned back to the Lord, I still feel the guilt and remnants of the paths I chose, despite my attempts of repentance. Is the guilt there to remind us of the grace of God? Am I not repenting enough? What are your thoughts on this? So I think in both these questions, it's the thought, how do we win the battle in our minds against Satan, chase the devil from our thoughts, deal with our past? What advice might you have?
So when it comes to our thought life, what I love is the Bible. Again, the Bible is our guide, right? It is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. And so the Bible teaches us that we have the ability to take captive our thoughts, to think about what is pure, what is lovely, what is good, right? And so for someone who is constantly, I think the person asked, like, what do I do when the devil is constantly filling my thoughts, right? Like, one, I loved what they said, right? Like, yes, no, devil, you have no place here because I'm a child of God. I've been purchased by the King and he is greater than you. And so leave me the heck alone, right? Leave me. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, we can do that. And sometimes it, you know, he still comes, right? He's not, the devil is not going to just like, oh, okay, never mind. I'll leave you alone. You know, that might work in a moment, but he's going to come back and he's going to constantly throughout our lives, try to lie, deceive. And I think one of the things that is really good for our thought life is ask yourself the question, what am I filling my thought life up that will overflow when the devil comes, right? So like what I mean is like take captive your thoughts. And so what you're putting in is often what falls out. So fill your thoughts, memorize scripture. So when the enemy comes and deceives you, you are like, no. How did Jesus refute the devil, right? Mm-hmm. He quoted the word of God. He told the devil the truth. When the devil tried to like, you know, just give God a little bit of the Bible, but distort it, Jesus was like, no, devil. That's not accurate. It actually says this. And he was fueled and filled with the word of God to refute the enemy. And so I think as Christians, like, get in your word, know what it says, and when the enemy comes, don't let him distort it. Don't let him fill your mind with negative thoughts. Let it overflow out of you. And so I think that's maybe one of the greatest pieces of advice is listen to worship music all the time. Read your Bible. Like, be in the presence of God and ask him for his help. Don't fight on your own. Like, I think they mentioned, like, we talked about this in week one. You fight on your own, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. And you're going to lose over and over and over and over again. Right?
Yep.
Fighting the power of God's word and his spirit.
And are the things that I'm telling myself, is the conversation in my mind, does this sound like good words of God? Mm. Like, does this sound like the same thing I hear when I read my Bible? Or does this sound like something else? Is this, am I hearing condemnation or am I hearing love? And sometimes we can deceive ourselves, right? Our hearts are incredibly deceptive and wicked. And so, and Satan's a liar. And so he can sound a little bit like what we want him to sound like, what we want God to sound like when he's not really there. So we need each other, to be able to help each other. We need the word. But I think the longer that you walk with Jesus, the clearer his voice is.
That's right.
And so the more that we tune our ears to his spirit and to his voice, the more we can recognize it and say, man, does that sound like an accusation? Does that sound like condemnation? Or does that sound like love?
Yeah. And I think in this journey, Brad, ask for discernment. Because I love that verse in Corinthians where it says the enemy, he masquerades, he runs around like the angel of light. And his servants act like servants of righteousness. So sometimes the devil disguises his lies like godly things, like righteous things. And as we mature in Christ, as we fill ourselves with more of God's word, we have to ask ourselves those questions, right? Is this loving? But sometimes the devil, what he lies to you about feels really loving, right? It feels like, oh, this is the right path. And I think we need discernment, right? Yep. And discernment comes from the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is going to open your eyes to this is a lie. Like, this is not true. And we have to be sensitive in our life to listen to the voice, the discernment of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. We're going to get a lot more next week in terms of the biblical advice for responding to Satan, but I do love that. If we want to be sure that the thoughts in our head are God's thoughts, let's read God's word and know with confidence that what we read are God's thoughts. And I as a 63-year-old, you know, it began for me with memorizing verses in Awana, you know, as a kid, and it's the long game, right? I mean, even now I see things in the word and I'm like, how did I never see that before? How did I never make that connection before? But just the more and more familiarity you have with the word from beginning to end, how it fits together. And great advice, much more advice to come. Let me say this, Drew, it was a scary message. You know, I mean, you took us down some dark paths. And we will, please come back for week 3, because we will have some very biblical advice for responding to the devil. But you didn't leave us without hope. I would just encourage our folks who feel overwhelmed with their thoughts, feel overwhelmed with the accusations, just are in a dark place.
Yeah, you don't. I think the greatest encouragement is you're not alone. You know, I love the part in the splitting of the Red Sea. Moses looks at the nation of Israel and he says, "God will fight for you." Right, and the hope I have is, even in the failures that I have, sometimes when I slip up and I choose the wrong path, like, I have a God who fights for me, who is literally waging war for my life. And he's already won the victory, right? So the victory has already been won through the cross and the resurrection, but God is still fighting for your life and for your worship and for your heart and your affection. And, you know, I love that hope I have that I'm not alone, that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He doesn't condemn me when I fall flat on my face. He picks me up and he says, we can do this together. We can walk together. We can beat this. We can win this. He gives me, we'll talk about the armor of God. Like, he gives me everything I need to win the battle. And so, like, hey, if you've fallen or you feel trapped, it's not the end of your story, right? God has a beautiful plan for you. And it's just one decision after another to choose his path, to see the lies for what they really are, and to choose to follow him. You can do it. And the reason you can do it is because he's right there with you.
Yeah. Amen. Well, listen, thank you for hanging in there to the very end of this podcast. I'm hoping that that means you liked the podcast. So I want to remind you to hit that like button and subscribe to this podcast. That helps us. That helps this podcast get more visibility, get to more people. And listen, please come back for the conclusion next week of God of This Age, where we are going to get God's advice for standing up to Satan.